and welcome to the 155th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. I can't remember, so it might be 155 or 156, but anyway, here's the week after the Tennessee loss.
This is Harry.
This is Evan.
This is Ashton.
That was the worst break ever.
I know it was. I'm sorry. I couldn't remember what the which one this was. I think it's 155. All right, gentlemen, a loss to Tennessee. I'll have to be honest with you. I thought it was going to be worse.
Yeah. Defensively, I thought we played, you know, pretty darn good game against one of, you know, SEC team that had put up some pretty big points in the year. So it was something you could kind of hang your hat on for sure. You know, I think Chico's offense was we weren't seeing the hurry up tempo offense in that game. Let's just put it that way. So that helped a little bit as well. But, you know, in a season that's just, you know, so blah, it was definitely something you didn't just want to vomit after that game.
Well, I think our expectations were pretty low. I mean, to be honest.
The expectations had to be low. I mean, right. We were going to – I mean, here's the reality. As good quarterback play, that's a tight game. Great quarterback play, and we damn near can win the game. You know,
you texted me during the game, and man, I think that was a valid point because
it's winnable. It's a winnable game with great quarterback play. I mean, shit. I mean,
and Tennessee
was amazing.
They weren't playing. I mean, really, I was really surprised that we hung as long as we did. We could have scored. The passing. What are we going to do with the quarterback situation next year? Because I don't think it's something.
DeMarcus, man. DeMarcus, come on.
No, I don't think this is a situation where a year from now, with a little more practice, he's going to get it. I'm really concerned. He's got the arm, but those short passes just cannot make.
No, it's kind of okay. So his attribute, right, was the arm. It was always the arm. You know, he plays wild ass football, street ball, all that stuff. But it's fine because he's got a cannon for an arm and he can make some things happen. When Turner Smiley's going across the middle and it's third and like 11 or 12 it was, and he's got him wide open. And he throws the ball to him, and the read is correct, and everything's going fine, and the ball bounces twice before it gets to Turner. That's terrible. And he's not.
Okay, I'm going to defend DeMarcus.
Well, hold on,
bit
it would have bounced three times. But
listen,
the field was bad.
There were some terrible drops in that game.
But when
I don't want to mention
drops,
any
though,
names, Carlos Harris
on third down.
But.
And the announcers were all over that.
It
one
seemed
too.
Like every time it was a drop, it was in a critical situation, like a drive. You know, you're playing Tennessee here. This isn't Middle Tennessee. And I just got to say, I hear where you're coming from, Ashton. And frankly, your point of view is starting to win over a lot of the fans in the chat room. Some comments include, he's not the guy. Green Lantern said that. And there's some others that are making comments. I'm not ready to give up on him. But last week was not a good resume builder. But my point back to everyone, though, is who do we have that's better?
No,
I mean,
there you
would
go.
It be Josh Greer?
Exactly right.
Would it be Andy? Exactly right. I mean, we've been down that road. Well, and Means, I think basically the plan on Means is just give him another year because, I mean, obviously he's not going to play.
I don't think that as much as I would like to see Means get a shot, him not getting a shot right now leads me to believe that there could be something there. Like there could be a reason why he's not getting a shot. And I it's just not something I think we even need to be really discussing because Connor just because Connor Means is the third, fourth, whatever he is now on the depth chart, and we haven't seen him yet. This is that whole backup quarterback talk that I don't think we need to get into because
now you're seeing people in the chat room say Cousins and Shinboard.
No, why?
And,
I mean,
you know,
why?
I mean, those guys. I mean, they're good guys, but do we need to be
giving
them reps right?
No. We don't. And there's a reason why they've never even traveled. Well, I guess Shambor traveled with that one game where Connor was, you know, suspended or whatever. But whatever. I mean, those are just because the guy's name is on the roster under the QB area does not mean that he's a viable quarterback for our team in the future. That's just the reality. I mean, every team carries six or seven of them on the roster, and you never talk about the number five and the six unless your season has just gone down the crapper. And some of it is due to the quarterback play, and which I think is obviously what we're dealing right now. But it's just not a topic that we need. Like we don't need to discuss those guys. You know, it's probably going to be DeMarcus right now, right? I mean, there would be nothing to lead me to believe that next season it's not going to be DeMarcus unless we bring in somebody or we get a transfer or whatever. But
if you're DeMarcus or you're any of these players that have more eligibility left, you have to look at these last remaining games as it's a chance to make – it's a resume, you know, because there's going to be a new coach that's going to come in here, and he's going to decide pretty darn quick whether you fit into his plans or not. And if you don't, he's probably going to say, look, man, you know, we need to go in another direction.
Nope.
So
yeah, nobody needs to get comfortable with anything right
this,
now.
This is something week after week.
New coach, new regime.
We're going to see this going on. The new coach, what's he going to want to do? Is he going to bring somebody in? Are we going to bring in a freshman and maybe run him up there? We're going to look for another JUCO. There's a lot of questions to be answered on there. But let's talk about the rest of the game. Wilson, how do you think he did this week?
I wish he would have got the ball a little bit more. I think the offensive flow kind of dictated that, but or the fact that we were getting off the field every two or three seconds.
Right. That was very frustrating. And I hate to blame any exterior things, but the field brought this up a second ago. I think it was 23 on the board. The field was horrible. I mean, they kept showing it on things.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's notoriously bad. It's been notoriously bad for
Tennessee, it's always bad.
Yeah, there's been.
What's up with the grass? There?
It's just been bad. It's not a place that people, the other teams like going into play, and a lot of it's for the, it's like, you know, it's got the rap of like Veterans Stadium, you know, back in the day where it was just a shitty place to play. You don't like to, not the same kind of style of field, obviously, but it's just not a good place. It's just people have said that for years. And I talked to one of the coaches a couple of days after the game, actually, and just yesterday, they were, you know, bitching about the field. It was pretty awful. In pregame, they were walking around it like, what the hell? Like, this just sucks.
Yeah, and I think that played into a lot of the running game problems. All right, what about the defense? You were talking earlier about
– played well.
Yeah, well, what about the linebacking core when our top
– Oh, yeah.
Our top – tackler is a safety.
You know what? There's no way to sugarcoat it. We just suck at linebacker right now. And I mean, it's nothing personal against the guys we got. But hopefully they'll develop. But
just guys with pads on.
I mean, unfortunately, it's just and I played linebacker in high school, and I mean, I'm telling you, it's hard to watch. It's missed tackles, bad direction. I don't know if it's the Kosh scheme that plays into it or whatever, but linebacker, to me, defensive line would be a close second, but I think linebacker is the biggest issue on our defense right now.
All right.
Everybody wants to throw that on Kosh, too, on the board. And, you know, Kosh is the DC, and he's the linebacker's coach, so I get that. But, you know, he also walked into the situation. Like, he came into the situation. These aren't any of his players. Again, I am not defending Kosh at this point, but I want that to be realized because he walked into a storm of crap, a crap storm, you know, of linebackers. It wasn't looking good. We got, you know, Courtney Finney. I was hoping Courtney Finney was going to be more productive this year, and he's just not. And again, it's not anything on those guys. Bean going down hurt, you know, but. No pun intended. But
people in the chat room are saying Seth Ellis, you know, where is he? And he seemed like a guy, you know, that had some potential. What happened to him?
I don't know. I mean, this is one of those. Seth Ellis is one of those guys that where was the potential, I guess, or what's the basis for said potential, I guess? Said potential, get it?
I saw what you did there. That was pretty.
Yeah,
good.
You like that? Mm-hmm. Comedy hour. Mean Green. Sed made some good plays in 2013. He had one of the best hits I've ever seen live in my entire life. I think I replayed that about 17 times as I could. Every episode I could fit that hit in on the show because it was amazing. And I thought he was going to be a lot better. But really, you know, after the whole shoplifting thing and getting back on the team, I thought he was going to have kind of a renewed outlook and just be better. And think a little bit, but he was. I think there were some issues last year with him, and he wasn't performing. And I think at one point in time last year they dropped him on the scout team, you know, for like 3 or 4 days. And I think one game he didn't play, but he suited up, or maybe he traveled, but he was dropped down to like third string, and you know,
some guys just don't make good decisions.
It just didn't work out. It's one of those things that just didn't work out.
Well, I could have told you that it wasn't going to work out coming back. He went for the Sanyos, and those Sanyos are really crappy TV. He should have gone for some higher-end stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's uncomfortable.
Did somebody call him retarded in the board? That's mean.
Yeah, don't do that. Come on, guys.
Anyway, no, that just didn't work out, and That's going to happen. And the problem is when you're not stocked with talent and you get a flash, you know, if Sed's biggest mistake was knocking that guy out of the game because it made us all think, dude, Sed Ellis is going to be great. And then it was like, okay, he's a guy with great athleticism. He's not very big. You know, he's a tall, lean guy. He's a borderline, you know, nickel linebacker because he's got such wheels. He's Jamal Marshall. He's basically Jamal Marshall without that much speed. So Sed's not a guy that I was ever really honestly thinking was ever going to come in there and be a difference maker.
I think this was good in the chat room. MeanGreen09 says, Finney was pretty productive last game. Kosh can be blamed for poor alignments and design flaw, but not the missed tackles. I mean, that's pretty fair. I did think Finney had a better game last game.
Somebody's got to make the tackle.
But we were thinking Finney was going to come in here and be all conference. So, you know.
Can Chico be blamed for quarterback play?
Whoa, we went to quarterback again.
Well, no, I'm just saying. We were talking about earlier, somebody on the board in the chat room mentioned, Jean could be better with a quarterbacking coach in the offseason. And I'm going, okay, I thought we've had a good quarterback coach for several years. Why are we still lacking at the position? I mean, there's a lot of things you can say with the coaches. The bottom line is the cupboard's pretty bare right now, and it's going to be tough for the new coaching. I know we're going to talk to Vito a little bit about the coaching hire, but let me just ask you guys, and this is one way or the other, we're not talking about potential candidates. Which ones do you favor, old school or up-and-coming young guy?
The kind of coach?
Old school, old coach, or up-and-coming young guy?
I think college football in general the consensus
answer
now,
the question
the consensus now, up and coming. I don't think that any schools from here on out are going to be hiring old school guys. I think that old school guys are kind of in a bad situation, you know, because they're not wanted. Every school, I mean, you know what to do in college football now is score points, throw the ball around the field. I mean, every single conference, even the Big Ten does it more now.
Yeah, but you could have an old school guy with a name recognition that's waiting for his chance to get back in after just a couple crap years at a good school.
Sure. I mean, absolutely.
The guy at Cal came up on the board, Sonny Dykes.
Sonny Dykes.
And that ain't going to happen because now Cal's saying they're going to give him $1 million or whatever and keep him there. But it is intriguing to think about. Everyone's going on about how great La Tech is this year. Skip Holtz got fired at South Florida, okay? And then immediately after him getting fired, La Tech jumped in there and pulled him off the market. I think that's a guy that would be not considered young or old, kind of in the middle. That's kind of where I'm leaning more. I don't need a guy to be 30 years old, but, you know, I don't want the guy to be – and age isn't – I hate using age as a determining factor, but I'm just saying if you had someone that was still youthful, energetic, but had some skins, had been some places, has done some recruiting, and I'm going to keep bringing this back, recruiting is the key for this job. It is so, so important at North Texas that we have someone that can put together a system and it has shown that they can recruit at other places. And maybe having Texas ties would be very important too.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Evan. I think you were going to say something. No, I think that I like what you said just now about they don't have to be. It's mentality. Age doesn't really matter because in 10, 15 years, Sonny Dykes is still going to be the kind of coach that throws the ball around the field and acts like a little kid probably, and he's going to be close to 60. So, age is just a number, I mean, we're going to throw that cliche.
Mike Leach has got to be getting close to 60.
Yeah, and he's like a mad scientist. That doesn't really matter. It's the mentality of new school, old. I mean, what kind of football are they going to coach? Personally, I want a guy that's going to come in here and be open-minded. If he's a defensive guy, I want him to be open-minded to letting the offense, let the reins off the offense and play to our skills. Right now, our skill is a running back. We have a great running back, and I don't want to see him go to waste. He'll be a junior next year, and I don't want to see that go to waste on a coach that comes in and just wants to do spread and then leaves Jeffrey Wilson out of the mix because he just wants to throw the ball around. And maybe Jeffrey doesn't get – maybe he gets 10, 15 touches out and like five of them are targets out of the backfield. I don't really want that. I want Jeffrey to get the ball a lot. So I need a coach that would want to come in and do both sides of the ball, but just an open-minded coach. If he sees that we have talent on the outside, throw the ball. If he sees that we have a great running back, hand him the rock. If he sees that our defense is out of this world amazing, then play ball control, you know, control the clock, control the line of scrimmage, and just play to our advantages. Unfortunately, right now, the only advantage I really see is we got some good secondary play, you know, some young secondary that is still growing. Keyshawn's obviously a stud. You know, the outside corners, Chad Davis is making some a name for himself now. He had a good pick. You know, obviously Preston and Brooks are, as true freshmen, are playing. So you've got some skill in the secondary, and
there's
you've got
some
a good
pieces
running back.
There's some pieces here. This isn't a complete rebuild. I'm sorry. I don't buy that.
It's not a complete
there's
rebuild.
There's some pieces, and you just need to get the right pieces in place, and you need to recruit quarterback. Whether DeMarcus pans out or not, you need more quarterbacks. We don't have enough quarterback options, and that's I think having someone with an offensive mentality. Yeah. That's what killed Mac, is that what – big prolific quarterback wants to come to a run first offense. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen.
Somebody just all said right, secondary is awful. I mean, I don't think it's awful. I mean, I don't think
all right, hold on. Before we get to Vito, I got something I want to bring up. So this week, obviously, I was on the board checking things out and trying to read in between posts about RV. And one of them was an interesting one about scheduling, and I tended to disagree with a lot of the posts. I'm sure I'll get torn apart in the chat room, but that's what it's there for, guys. So, scheduling. Everybody's complaining about the body bag games. Everybody's complaining about the Iowa and complaining about the Tennessee. If we would have been a better team, these would have been games we were really looking forward to. These would be our shot to make a difference. And as a good mid-major program, those are your opportunities to really, you know, wow people. And I do know, and you know this too, Ashton, players love those games. Recruits love those games. Recruiting, a big part of recruiting, you show them that board of who we're going to be playing the next 4 years. We're going to be playing Miami. We're going to be playing, you know, those names come up there. Recruits love that. So somebody that says to me, it was ridiculous, we were stupid to do Tennessee and Iowa. Nobody knew Iowa was going to be that good 4 years ago or whenever when they made that. Tennessee's always usually pretty good, but yeah, we get paid for those games, but those are games where we can make a difference if we're a good
team.
We were bad this year.
I agree with you. I want one.
Okay,
I do not want two.
But did you think Iowa would have been a body bag game before this year?
Probably not, but you know, results. But I agree with you. Iowa has never been this good.
Iowa was always a bottom dweller.
But the thing is that they're still a Big Ten team, and the odds are stacked against you. But my point on the whole scheduling thing is, I want to see us play one of those games. I think we should. I mean, I think that's reasonable. So, but two is too many, and especially late in the season.
Do you see something more like our 2013 schedule?
Okay, so 92 says
we're going
to
Alabama.
Is that
what you're kind of thinking? That one? Go ahead, Evan. Sorry.
Sorry. 92 on the board says we're going to go to Alabama and get 80 points hung on us. Come play here. No, that's not how the recruits think. The recruits want to play.
Exposure.
They want to be playing college team. That's what they do. And they put those names of who we're going to be playing. There's an outside, when they were recruiting, Mac was recruiting, they always say, these are the teams we're going to be playing. They used to say, we'll probably be in Conference USA. These are the schools we're going to be playing.
When you're at North Texas and a school like we're at, we have to do that because we're not hanging anything on their hopes on anything else with, like, we've got national titles and, you know, we've got 35 players in the NFL and we got 8 people drafted in the first round last year. That's not the reality. Mm-hmm. So you have to use things that, I mean, it's just like we talk about coaching. We have to use things that are advantage. Find out what we can brag about, what we can boast about, and saying, hey, we're going to go up to play Iowa next season. You're going to go get to play a Big Ten, right, at a Big Ten school. Maybe a player who's a 2-star recruit out of Elkhart, Jeffrey, you know, may think it's really cool when he's getting out of high school that he's going to get to go play. Yeah, that he's going to get to go play. You know, who'd we out of conference last year? Where did we go last year? That was
so. What's more attractive recruits? We're going to play all schools. We're going to play Toledo, or we're going to play Tennessee.
I think
I'll take Tennessee.
I think Adler made a good point in the chat room. He said these horror games force us to play FCS schools or schedule FCS schools to come to Apogee for our home games, and that ruins home schedules. I don't know that there's necessarily a correlation between the two, Adler, but I would like to see our home schedules improve. I think that's a valid point. The best team we've had in Apogee up to this point is either Houston or maybe Indiana. I mean, have we had a better opponent than that in all, you know, the 4 years we've had Apogee open? you know, and then you look at SMU and they've got Baylor and A&M and, I mean, TCU, all these other teams. I think our home schedule at Apogee, I would like to see us get a bigger name opponent for sure.
No, and I agree. I think the depth thing, but I don't think that scheduling a team like Tennessee or Iowa were bad decisions this year. I think 2 years ago when we came coming off of that the victory against Nevada and, you know, at the in the Dallas Bowl, after that thing, these would have looked really good on the schedule.
Yeah. I mean, what happened if we would have upset Georgia?
That was a yes.
That was that was actually a possible reality in the third quarter of that game. And I've never been to a stadium that with that much tradition and that kind of rabid fan base and the sound in that stadium. You could hear a pin drop when we blocked the punt. Right? Yeah, we blocked the punt and we tied the game. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, I looked around at the fans and it was hilarious because they. I mean, this whole fan base was shocked. I loved every second of that because I thought that was we are here, we are making a name for ourselves. And man, don't think that Mac was thinking in the back of his head like we're probably gonna get our asses kicked by when it's all said and done. But man, this is freaking awesome right now to just be hanging in this game after halftime and be able to hang in there. I mean, so do I want six of these games? No, but I'm fine with Iowa and Tennessee this year. Those aren't crazy ass games to be scheduling in one season, really, in my opinion.
We just got to get better. When we get better, watch the tide turn. Everyone's going to be saying, why don't we ever get to play Texas? Or, you know, when the team improves and has a chance. But then the problem becomes is those teams don't want to schedule you because they can't afford a loss against us.
There's your other problem. Yeah. So you got to catch them in the years where they will schedule you.
I mean, shit happens. You can get an upset. I mean, we've seen it. It's happened.
Right.
You know, like, what if, I mean.
Well, Monroe beat, was it Arkansas? Who would they beat the other last? Maryland? I can't remember. Well,
Monroe beat Alabama 1 year.
Alabama, yeah. That
yeah,
was...
I mean, but think about it. What if we went into Tennessee and won that game? Off of one, you know, we didn't, and it's really stupid to sit here and say, like, hypotheticals, but, you know, that game was close. It was 14-0 at halftime.
Yeah.
What if Chad Davis, for some reason, gets that ball on that pick and doesn't slip and he has a wide-open alley and just runs down the field? It's 14-7. You know, I mean, all of a sudden it's a seven-point game, and it's a whole different ball game. We have no idea. And maybe Tennessee wasn't trying. They weren't playing that many starters. They were playing a bunch of starters. But, you know, I mean, whatever. Say what you want. I mean, that game was there to be more competitive. We just didn't capitalize. We didn't finish like we have not done all season.
Right.
So that's not
right.
surprising.
And so my whole point was this whole bring this thing up was it's a huge part of recruiting, and you need at least one of those games every year to have, you know, for recruiting, for everything else, you need those. And so I don't have an issue with it. Yeah, there's some things that I question on the scheduling, but on games like this, I just don't see that it's that big of an issue. I really don't. It just happened that Iowa was great this year, and, you know, you saw how the Tennessee game ended up. But I do know that it's huge for recruiting, and I do know that, you know, on a year where we're having a great year, we could really capitalize on it. So we haven't been able to, but, you know, you got to roll the dice on it.
Yeah, those games when your school like North Texas, unfortunately, right now, we kind of need those games, in my opinion. I have no problem with going to those games. I like the fact that we're playing these kind of teams. I like the fact that we're not shy to do that. Do we need three of them in 1 year? No, obviously not. And, you know, 2013 schedule, I brought that up a second ago. Maybe that's what people would like to see more. We go play one game that's, you know, the body bag game, whatever you want to call it, and then the other out-of-conference games are, you know, you go to Ohio, which, well, you know, but then we're in that game too.
We have SMU every year. That's a close, makeable game. People like that. That is a good thing to have on the schedule locked up for the next 10 years.
Absolutely. I mean, that again, that's another necessity. You know, I think that we need the rivalry game, and we need to have the rivalry established like we're doing. And I think, you know, it's now it's got some interesting storylines. And, you know, if a coach that we get in next year has any kind of history with Chad Morris, that game even goes.
All right. Harry's getting on the phone right now with Brett. But I will say this. Who would you rather have every year? Would you rather have a Toledo on the schedule or Akron, where we would go to Akron and play a game we could easily win? Or would you rather have an Iowa, maybe a Tennessee, something like
that's a pretty good question, actually. I mean, I guess it just depends on the season. You know, you want to get that win, but and what the prospects are. The sad thing is you schedule these things so far in advance that you don't really know. I mean,
Who gets excited
personally
for the Zips?
Personally, I would rather just I'd want to go to the big school. I really do.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to play. I would rather play Tennessee than Akron. You know, I would rather play Georgia than Ohio. You know, it's just reality. I'd rather go to the SEC schools and go and get some exposure and be talked about and have your highlights shown on TV. And I think that's important. I really do.
All right, I'm just looking through a couple of things on the board here. Okay, SMU is just RV being lazy so he can schedule 5 home games every other season. Really? I don't think anybody thinks that SMU was a bad thing.
People are unhappy right now. Oh, I think that's just the bottom line. I'm not happy.
We're talking about the good SMU
at
thing.
UNT versus SMU, coach fire within 2. I'm just going to read all the...
Is Brett's on the phone?
Yeah. Ulysses Moore is nice. I went to Trinity, by the way, Ulysses
Moore. All right, hold on a second here. We're going to go ahead and get Brett on the phone here, so hold on 1 second.
Brett Vito with the Denton Record Chronicle.
Hey, Brett, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you guys.
Hey, Brett. Great.
What's going on?
Hey, Brett.
How are you, man? Long time no see.
So joining us on the phone right now.
Through the worst time of the year.
Yeah. Hey, joining us on the phone is the beat writer for the Denton Record Chronicle, Brett Vito. Brett, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. Rough year, but how are things for you down there? A lot of people calling asking about the team in the future.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, when you're the only, not the only, but, you know, when you're the kind of the one full-time guy that covers North Texas, I mean, you're the easy target. A lot of times, you know, you get various agents or coaches or people who have interest in the job that'll go ahead and give you a call just to, you know, to get a different perspective on, you know, a little bit about what's going on with the program outside of somebody that's employed by the university. So, yeah, I've talked to to several people actually about the job over the last few days to try to get a handle on where things are at as best I can without, you know, and use what I can without torching the people that are, you know, sharing a little information with me.
How does that work? Did you get this a lot last time when we played, when McCartney was coming in? Did you get a lot of calls? A lot of people question about what were our options then. Did you get a lot of calls from kind of unexpected candidates that maybe didn't get vetted out at the end?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you get the various people that are interested or have a friend that is interested, or maybe just like I said, a little bit of a different perspective on what the program has to offer, what its challenges are. And sometimes, you know, some of those connections pay off. I get a lot of criticism over, you know, over how much we report. And I mean, and some of that's totally justified. I mean, it's sometimes North Texas is a hard nut to crack, and I've never claimed to be, you know, super duper reporter or whatever. I do the best I can, and I just try to get the best handle on it as I can. And, you know, over the last few days, I've talked to a few guys that have actually, you know, sat down with North Texas officials and talked with them about the job that are kind of on the list or have at least had preliminary interviews and things like that. And, you know, I think there is a lot of interest out there. I'm just trying to get the best handle on it as I can and be as accurate as I can without just randomly throwing out stuff that doesn't come to fruition or I don't feel comfortable that is accurate, you know, that kind of deal.
Hey, Brett, it's Ashton. I had a question. So I asked a few people that I know that cover college football nationally. Try to reach out to a few contacts. What is the feeling that you get about what the outsiders, you know, maybe even outside of Texas, think about the job? Like, how do people rate or rank the North Texas job opening?
You know, it's a good question. I think it depends a lot on who you talk to. The general perception I get is that a lot of people think it's a good job, that there's a lot there to work with in terms of, you know, the area that you're in, the recruiting area that you're in. And, you know, so there's some positives there. So I think there's also some trepidation about the fact that North Texas has been down for so long. You know, some people seem to think there's some uncertainty about, you know, with a new president and, mm-hmm. you know, and just the lay of the land as far as the program goes and how things are going to be handled going forward. You know, so there's a little bit of concern about that. And, you know, I think some coaches look at it and say, you know, since that big bowl run in the early 2000s, you know, a lot of people respect Dan McCartney and look at it like, wow, you know, he really struggled there. And then had the high school coach that struggled there. And, you know, is there, is it going to be hard to turn the program around? And personally, I look at it, I think it's a big time, you know, long term rebuild, and you're going to have to find somebody that's going to be willing to hunker down and try to build the thing up from the ground.
So, Brett, there's been a lot of talk about additional money, more than they were offering McCartney. Do you see that as directly affecting the quality of candidate that you're hearing? Obviously, you can't talk about the exacts, but, I mean, do you feel like that's made an impact?
Well, I'm sure it does. I mean, you know, we quoted the president in the paper about the fact that the money would be there for the right candidate. And the general figure that's been thrown around is up to 2 point, I think it was, what was it? You know, they paid 1.2. They would pay over, you know, $1 million. They get to go up to 1.2 for the right candidate. Now, I've never had anybody tell me that on the record, but a lot of people have kind of thrown that number around, and it's been thrown around enough that I think it's a pretty solid, a pretty solid assumption that that is the general vicinity that they'd be willing to go, just to, based on what people around the program have not told me or not said on the record, but have told other people around, that may be a safe assumption that they would pay up to that. And that would really increase the level of candidate that you'd be able to potentially bring in. The question is going to be, you know, what kind of coach are they looking for? Who's willing to take on the challenge, and, you know, who ends up being the right fit in the end?
Yeah, Brett, like how you said a second ago about the president, the new president, and then obviously anybody who is vetting anything about North Texas sees that there's some hostility towards our athletic director from a percentage of the fan base. No, I know, Evan, it's weird. You got to get on the board sometime. God, idiot. So one of the people that I talked to said that was something that was concerning to outside candidates, that there is, you know, a new president and kind of an uncertainty in terms of your AD, and maybe that's not even the right word, but there's just some things up in the air, I guess, and there's a certain, you know, fan base opinion. When you said, you know, the new president and the kind of the landscape, I guess, is that, do you think that turns people off? Do you think the candidates kind of would think, see that and maybe try to think that's a red flag?
Well, I don't think there's any question that, you know, some guy that's going to be looking at this job, I mean, you only get so many chances to be a head coach in college football. If I'm a guy that's going to have that opportunity at some point, I'm going to take a really long, hard look at the lay of the land in any place I'm considering taking a job. And, yeah, I mean, that's come up, I mean, with numerous people around that have asked about it. Said, well, you know, it sounds like it's kind of there's some uncertainty there because you got a new president. You know, I think that would give anybody pause. If you're the kind of candidate that North Texas is going to be looking at, and I firmly believe that they want to look at potentially the Houston and Memphis model, you know, with hiring a BCS level, you know, assistant. I mean, any of those guys are going to have so many opportunities in this, and I'm sure they're all going to, before they even talk to them, are going to take a long look at what they would potentially be getting into.
Well, we know that they, of course, coaches don't look at forums or fan boards. We know that doesn't happen. Athletic departments don't look at them either. But we do know, just with our Twitter feed, we know that some of the candidates have followed our Twitter feed, and our Twitter account posts every forum topic. So it seems that we get the once a day, let's talk about the situation with the athletic director. That goes into the Twitter feed. So if anybody's following this, those things are going to come up quite a bit. So whether or not they have impact, just like you said, they probably do have an impact. But they do pay attention to those things.
I mean, these agents are all looking at, you know, you're vetting those candidates. They're vetting you. You know, they're looking at the program. They're looking at what the record's been like over the last few years. They're looking at the roster. They're looking at who they would potentially be working with. I mean, it's not just a one-way street. It's not like you just go to this coach and say, go to these high-level coaches, these coordinators at BCS-level schools, and they're just, you know, randomly kind of taking a flyer on a program. I mean, they're taking a long, hard look, and these guys have all got agents who are being paid a very pretty penny to look and give their guy every possible chance to be successful and to put them in the right place. I mean, there's, you know, there are multiple agents out there that I know of that are, you know, presenting certain candidates or trying to push certain candidates to North Texas or match them up because that's what they do for a living. And to think that these guys aren't really taking a long, hard look at the exact situation in North Texas, I think, is crazy. These guys are going to know these things in and out before they get, you know, knee deep into this thing.
I mean, would you think that maybe we're getting vetted more than we would be vetting a candidate because of the situation? I mean, do you think that some people are looking at it as like an unattractive job?
Oh, I think it's an attractive job. All I'm saying is I think that any coach, and it's not just North Texas, because, you know, North Texas has struggled the last couple of years. I mean, if some coach that, you know, that's getting into a head coaching job, he could be going into some terrific situation. I'm sure, you know, if you had a coach that was at the level of would be going to Alabama, I'm sure his agent would be going through every little minute detail of what's going on there, or Texas, or, you know, when Skip Holtz went to Louisiana Tech. I mean, I'm sure since he'd been a head coach before, they, you know, his agent and him, you know, went through every possible rumination of what could possibly go on there and who the power brokers are and stuff like that. And that's been true of all the coaching searches that have gone down in North Texas. I mean, periodically, you know, you hear from agents or people involved in it, and they want to know who the power brokers are, who are the boosters that I need to convince that I'm the right person for the job, who has say in the way these decisions get made, or who has the ear of the people that make the decisions. Is there somebody close to, you know, are there boosters that have an influence over that have a close relationship to the athletic director that would maybe if they were behind me, that would help me? Or is the president the person that I really need to be impressed with me? You know, just those kinds of questions all come up. So I just think there's a lot more that goes into it behind the scenes than what people think.
So, Brett, knowing the vacancies in the head coaching positions in college football right now, who are we competing against for a coach right now? Who are the candidates, the limited number of candidates that I know the fans are interested in? Who else are going to be trying to woo them in?
Well, I mean, we're so, you know, there's so much time left in the season. You know, there was a report that went around today that Fran was going to be out at Texas State. Of course, they've since denied that report. But, you know, I mean, what happens at some of these other places? I mean, I haven't taken really – it's so hard to keep track of just the one school you're trying to cover with everything going on. But, you know, there's other schools out there that are going to have openings at mid-major-type places, and coaches and agents are going to be trying to match themselves with the best possible fit. I haven't really taken a good look at what other job openings are out there and tried to match up the candidates, you know. But I'm sure there'll be other schools out there that are looking.
Hey, Brett, this is Harry. I think I finally got a question here. These guys are just
peppering Brett, anyway,
questions. So my prediction, and I want to see if you concur, is that we got two more long weeks of a bunch of rumors and this and that, and I know who it is, and I know who it is. No one really knows. And we won't know until it's announced. And when it is announced, it will be a candidate none of us have probably even thought of, because that's exactly what happened with Dan McCartney, if you recall. Nobody knew that it was going to be Dan McCartney. And I see this playing out the same way. I mean, do you agree? I mean, these things are real tricky, these coaching hires.
Yeah, they can be. And, you know, every school handles them differently, and every school handles them the way that they think is best for them. And, you know, and I don't have a problem with anybody doing that. North Texas tends to be, and I mean, I think you guys know this, or experiences from past go-arounds, I mean, they tend to be fairly, they try to keep everything fairly secret. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, they, you know, they say that they want to protect those assistant coaches that are potentially out there recruiting. And like some of the ones that have talked to North Texas have said, you know, I don't want my name out there. I don't want my name connected with it. And I said, okay, I will not say, you know, that you've talked to him or whatever. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. And it seems to me like Dan McCartney's name came up right at the end. It was, you know, he kind of became known as a potential candidate. Because I remember trying to run him down right before they named him, like in the week before. It wouldn't surprise me if we get down towards the end here and we get some, you know, some more definitive, you know, these guys are the candidates type thing. And, you know, and it's not just guys that are covering the program on a regular basis. There's a whole network of guys that their job for national websites and, you know, places like ESPN and various other places is to cover basically coaching searches on a national level that have a ton of contacts in terms of agents, behind-the-scenes guys, industry sources, and things like that. And those guys tend to, a lot of times, just depending on the situation, sometimes they'll have some insight into what a school is going to do. And, I mean, it just seems like it's been so incredibly quiet since the initial, you know, these are the suspects list. You know, you always have those suspects lists, and I put one together just on the basis of, well, these guys make sense. There hasn't been a whole lot that's come out then that everybody hasn't denied that is a beyond a this makes sense kind of deal. You know what I mean? And I mean, I know a couple of people that, you know, people that I've heard from that have talked to North Texas, they've wanted to stay off the radar, but don't want you to say that they've talked to North Texas. But, you know, it's been very quiet, if you ask me. It hasn't been a lot of reports that haven't been immediately totally denied. So.
Do you have a favorite candidate?
You know, not really. I mean, I've talked to, I don't want to out myself here, but, you know, I've talked to a couple of guys that are interested in the job. I think there's some good candidates out there. I think it just depends on what North Texas wants. And I made this point with Francione tonight. You know, they were saying, you know, that he may be on his way out of Texas State. I just think if you look at the direction things are going in college football, you know, Coach Mack had a, you know, had a really great season here, but overall he probably didn't have the success that he wanted to. And, you know, Coach Fran is having a bit of a tough go this year at Texas State. I just think it's going the direction that college football is headed is more with younger offensive-minded coaches. And that's immediately what Rick said after they decided they were going to go in a different direction. Well, we need a younger offensive-minded coach who can recruit and appeal to today's young players. I would be shocked if North Texas doesn't go in that direction, especially with the success some other similar programs have had going that direction with younger offensive-minded coaches who can appeal to today's kids who all run the spread in Texas. You know, I would be
there's no way that's
pretty
not happening.
Shocked if it wasn't somebody along the lines of a, you know, one of those young coordinators at a Big 12 type school or a, you know, someplace like that. That seems to be the direction it's headed, and I would be shocked if it went any other way at this point. Not necessarily a coordinator, but, you know, somebody, an assistant head coach or a offense coordinator type guy at one of those high-level schools. Especially when you look at the history of North Texas, that's the other thing you look at when you get these situations. What's North Texas's history when it comes to hiring coaches? Well, let's think about it. Outside of what was McCartney? McCartney was an assistant coach at Florida, somebody that everybody knew. When you look back, John Jones was a longtime assistant at a bunch of SEC schools that had some connections with Villarreal. When they hired Tony Benford, what was he? He was a longtime assistant at a bunch of BCS schools. Even in the minor sports, when you go to volleyball, who was the coach that got now, Coach Pally? He was an assistant coach out in the Pac-12 who's been a head coach before. You know, you go to a lot of those different situations, and that's kind of the direction they've headed.
All right, Brett. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And, of course, everybody can follow Brett's Twitter and the blog on the Denton Record Chronicle site. Brett, we appreciate you joining us tonight, and we'll be looking forward to see if there's any breaking news on the candidate search.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you guys having me. You guys have a good night.
All right, you too. All right, that was Brett, the beat writer for the Denton Record Chronicle. It is tough, but like you said, that a lot of people do ask him, because just like when other reporters from other parts of the country going to play North Texas, they call him to get his opinion, and he sees a lot of it, and he gives a pretty good unbiased, nobody accuses Brett of being a homer.
No, definitely not. I mean, that's the one thing that we can.
But he's been here for so long. He knows it better than
we're just all in the dark.
That's right.
You know, and Brett was in the dark, and, you know, anybody who talks to people up there is in the dark, I think, and that's just the way it goes. It's going to be, this is just going to be something that just pops out of nowhere. Like Harry said, it's probably a person that we haven't even thought of yet. And, you know, I hope that we have some kind of idea, but I'm just kind of tired of speculating at this point. I have no idea. And, you know, I feel like I know a few people up there to try to get some info, and nobody knows anything.
All right, so we're coming down to the home stretch here, and on the phone with us right now, we have our fearless student liaison and
he needs some theme music, man.
He does.
We need some theme music for Brandon.
Brandon's
in with us today. So, Brandon, what is the theme on campus right now? We'll have a theme song next
Brandon.
Time. Yeah, no, we got to come up with something better than that. So, Brandon, what's the what do you? I know we got some sound clips for us this week, but what's the theme on campus? How did the banner flyover go over with the students?
What banner?
The banner flew. It was there, but I was trying to get a picture of it, and everybody's like, and then so like I was drawing attention to it, but people were just like looking up, going, "What the hell is that?" Because I mean, bottom line, that plane's gonna make a ton of noise flying over a campus as quiet as ours. So everybody's like, "What the hell?" And they look up, and the main quote I got was like, "Is he like one of those guys at Mizzou? Is he a bad person, or who is that?"
Yes, and this goes along with a lot of people saying that a lot of the students know the football team. They know who the coach is. They don't know who the athletic director is. I can guarantee you it was like over at Bruce Hall. It was like, "Hey, what's that up there? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, man. Don't worry about it."
They don't do that anymore.
No, of course not.
Sure.
That's how it went. So, That's kind of the thing, and that's what a lot of people were suspecting. But
are we talking about David Banner? What banner are we talking about here? What's the banner?
All right, we're gonna move on. Didn't the campus rag runner thing about it?
I think so.
Did they?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The pictures. Brandon, did you see people out there trying to take pictures, or did really nobody really seem to care?
Nobody really seemed to care. Everybody was just kind of like, "Who the hell is Rick
Villarreal?" Yeah. Villarreal. Oh, man, that's fortunate. So the banner did its job, I guess. No?
I remember.
Hey, did you know who the AD was when you were at school there? Honestly.
We asked him this last week.
I did,
but I'm just a dork. So
your freshman year, you knew who the AD was.
Yeah, I'm just a sports guy, though. I'm not lying. Why would I lie about something so trivial and stupid? Really, I mean, it's dumb to know that.
Eyebrows was the... Wasn't old Eyebrows the guy when we were there?
That's Hurley.
Now, when would Hurley start?
Hurley was the president, not the AD. It was, Craig Helwig.
Helwig. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, that was a good episode, and we'll see you guys next week.
Brandon, so, all right, we got like under 5 minutes left here, Brandon. So tell
quarters.
Us, what are the sound clips we got right here?
Well, we have one sound clip because I kept asking people about the basketball team in the main.
Yeah, I came up with the bright idea. You know, we beat OU, a ranked team, like the biggest win in the history of the program over a ranked team. And I thought I had this bright idea that Brandon could go ask students about the women's team, you know, beating OU and stuff like that. And it didn't work out so well.
I had one friend of mine, and I had talked to Steven again. We talked to him whenever Coach Matt was the topic and kept in contact with him. This guy knows basketball, so I was like, "Hey, can you give me anything on basketball?" Because I was running around talking to students and getting nothing. I'd be like, "Hey, what do you think about the girls' win over OU?" And they'd be like, "They won."
I think that's what we want to hear. So
yeah,
next time, get
that's
some
not
of those
surprising.
I told him that.
Yeah,
I said, that's funny.
That's what we want.
It's just
hear.
Depressing to show that people really don't care about sports on our campus. That's all it's going to do is depress everybody in the chat room and the board, and you know, just that's all it is. It's depressing.
I could not bring that because I mean, one, the sound bites were only like 5 seconds, so it wasn't going to run well. But I mean,
you can do a mashup next time. Just no, who, what?
It's priorities. We're at the age where following football at North Texas is 24 is our outside escape life. When you're in college, it's chasing tail and making a quarter in a glass. These people have different priorities than we do. All right, so here we're going to listen to this first sound clip, all right?
Find Blue next time, Brandon.
Yeah.
Blue, that guy was great.
Blue.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. It's loading here. I thought it was already loaded. Right, here we go.
All right, I'm here again with Steven. Y'all have heard from him before whenever we talked about Coach McCarney. He's going to talk to us about the men's and women's basketball team, and we're going to start off with the women's basketball team. They had a huge upset victory over OU in Norman with only 9 players on the roster and 3 fouling out, and this is our new head coach's first year here. What do you think about this?
What do I think about it? My personal opinion, I think it's a fantastic start to the season. After what we went through last year with the girls' basketball team and with this new head coach, I think it's solidifying a position in our conference that shows, like, hey, we're getting ready for the game, or we're getting ready for the season, and we're not going to back down from anyone. And I think that's a great, like, starting point for the girls' team.
All right, and now on to the men's team. With our first two victories over Texas College and Jarvis Christian, we are averaging over 100 points a game, which, you know, these are very low ranking teams, but here's the thing about it, it's like we're still averaging over 100 points, so we're still making baskets. What do you have to say about that?
Honestly, my personal opinion is they got the job done. You know, they were supposed to win those games. They did it. I understand, like, the whole we're averaging 100 points a game, but we can't really take that into, like, over-the-top celebration, because at the same time, they're not really higher teams that we should be playing, because we got Mean Green Madness coming up next week. So I think if we can average a high amount of points, like 80 or let's say 100 again against, like, Idaho, I think we play on Monday, I think that will be a better testament of what this team's about, and it will showcase that this team is even better than last year's, like the women's team.
And, I mean, you know, like, a lot of people haven't known about the women's victory or the men's, how well they're doing. And, I mean, what do you think about that? Would you like to hear more communication from the athletic department, from the basketball program, about how good we're doing on campus?
I mean, I think everybody knows that the basketball team is pretty good, because everybody I think a lot of people like basketball. I think people will go watch basketball a lot. It doesn't matter if, like, they're winning or losing. But I think this is a great start to the season for us, and I think a lot of the fans will probably reach out more to the games, especially during, like, the women's games, because I remember one time last year I went to one of the women's games. There was nobody. It was absolutely nobody. I went to a couple of guys' games, and there was a good crowd. But I think the start of this season, I think it will be a good stepping stone for us.
All right. Thank you for your time. You have a good night.
You too, man.
Hey, Brandon.
Yes, sir.
Were you in the
middle? Where were you guys at? Practice?
Were you in the middle
football
of the
practice?
Field?
Yeah. And who was playing quarterback? And was DeMarcus throwing the ball in the dirt? Really hard?
Well, Greer was doing that one.
Oh, man. Wow. Poor Greer.
Poor Greer. God. But no, we were, he had to help out with a soccer intramural game. So he was over there, and I met him over there.
So he was, like, reffing a game, and you were out there with him. That's ballsy, man. That's awesome. Hey, man, come here a second. I got a question for you. Time out. Oh.
Sorry,
Brandon.
So loud.
No problem.
All right, Brandon. So for next week, obviously we've got the holidays coming up, but before the next podcast, when you're asking students stuff, Just think of some off-the-wall questions, some quick ones. And you know what? The crazier the answers, the better.
Brandon, I'm going to send you some questions I got.
Oh, you right. say that every week. You always forget.
I need his contact info, Harry. Worthless. And then I'll send him something.
Hey, how all right, much I'll give longer you his text. Are you going to live some. Off of this Beyond the Green show? I mean, you're gonna,
I know. I mean, it's.
Gonna,
I know.
Those are going to be.
It's Beyond the Green money, man. I got this Beyond the Green money.
Beyond the Green.
Now that's why I'm out shooting Man on the Street videos. I'm gonna go to the campus and shoot some Man on the Street interviews.
All right. No, so
take care, Brandon.
Thanks, Brandon.
We'll talk to you next time, man.
Yep.
All right. So that was Brandon, and obviously, well, all right, guys. So this weekend,
we haven't even talked about who we're playing this week.
Middle Tennessee.
But we never even said it.
And we're probably gonna lose, but I hope we win.
Well, you know what? Jeez. If we can play like we did,
we're going to win.
It's all on DeMarcus. It really is.
If we can play like we did against Tennessee
on defense,
and we haven't, what happened?
Man, our fight song fails.
I mean, the reality of it is that we can beat this team if we have good quarterback play and play good defense. So,
I would love to see them win. I really think we could because they're better than UTSA. But if we can string something together, have a good game plan on offense, I think we can hang in there. So
these next two games are very winnable. Yep. I mean, they're some of the more winnable games on our schedule. So, yeah, I mean, it'd be great to finish the season with two more wins, and end up with three on the season. Three wins.
I want to coach more than I care about any. The coaching thing takes precedence over this everything. You know what I mean? It's almost. And I pull for the guys, and I want to win. But it's like, man, I'm really interested in who this next coach is going to be.
Are we even going? I mean, do we really think this is going to happen the next week? Like
coach?
It was, yeah.
No, I don't think.
No,
so.
It'll be over right when the season's over.
That's usually when it happens.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, he told us Thanksgiving, you know, on the podcast, so that's why.
Well, I know they want to do it quick, but the coaches are going to. It's just easier for him to do it after the season's over.
It depends on what's going on and those coaches, where they're at, what's going on in their programs. So, Middle Tennessee this week, UTEP next week.
We won't. Yeah.
That's it. Two more games.
Yeah, the last home game against UTEP.
Yep.
Weather prevailing, we could have a nice little tailgating scene for
if
that.
If it is, we still need to have the meet the tailgate meet and greet. We'll put at this point, I don't think this is gonna be real good. The board is very.
Yeah, I don't know.
Very
about that.
Separate. Yeah. It's like the
factions. UNT90s leading the charge.
Yes, it's like the Shiites. Well, anyway, I'm not.
Whoa.
It's just kind of very. Whoa. It's very broken up right now.
Fractions, but I think the new head coach, everyone will get behind. So that's what I think we're shooting.
It's going to be a new. It's going to be a new coach, new enthusiasm, new energy. It'll be hopefully in December we'll start having some good vibes going through, and in January we'll be super excited. And
recruiting starts up. I mean, yeah, it's I'm. It's going to be fun.
Recruiting should have already started up. Unfortunately,
this is a long time to go through a coaching interim situation.
Yeah, we got rid of him pretty early. All right, with that, we're going to go ahead and sign off. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.